Well, you guys know I'm a history nerd. I absolutely love it. And as we approach the 250, we thought it would be a good idea to go back and revisit, learn about the people that set this whole thing up. Our founding fathers that created this blueprint for what would become this grand American experience. This thing that had never been done in this part of the world. And we start today with the guy, with George Washington. And I find him to be incredibly fascinating because his life story evolved in ways that I don't think he totally had expected when the British had control here in the United States. And I obviously am no expert, but thankfully we do have some out there. Lindsay M. Chervinsky is the executive director of the George Washington Presidential Library at Mount Vernon and joins me this morning. It's so good to talk with you. Thank you for taking a couple of minutes with us this morning.
Absolutely. Happy to join you.
I want to start back because we know what George Washington did as part of the revolution and joining the revolution and then obviously becoming the first president. But I want to go back a little bit because his aspirations were always to be a higher ranking member of the British Army. And there were a lot of bumps along the way for him early in his military career that ultimately pushed him towards the revolution.
Yes, that's right. So Washington was the third born son. And I think that that's really important to remember because that meant that he had very little money and property that was going to come to him through his family. And he really had to find a way to advance himself through either the existing military options or his own merit. And so he tried to get a commission in the British Army and was unable to because he did not have the means to basically purchase an officer position. So he joined the Virginia Regiment and he ended up commanding a Virginia Regiment. But even after fighting with really incredible bravery in multiple different battles, that regiment was never treated the same as the British soldiers they were fighting alongside. And Washington wrote this great letter to the Lieutenant Governor, Robert Dinwiddie, saying, "We cannot conceive that just because we are Americans, we should be receiving second-class treatment." Mm. And so you can see him start to think about how being an American, and at that point, that was really just sort of like where you were born. He started to realize that that was not going to be equal citizenship as if he were British.
Mm. One of the battles that I don't think people talk enough about, again, early in his military career was Fort Necessity. It was, I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but that was one of the only battles that they surrendered in. And it was quite a slaughter for him. It was a relatively small battle, but at the same time, how did that then influence the way that he looked at leading soldiers, that he looked at how to build a regiment, build an army?
Yeah, it's a really important moment in Washington's career, and I would say global history as well, because he had come off an engagement in which the records are a little bit murky, but basically there was a French official that was killed, and whether or not George Washington's forces killed him or their native allies killed him is sort of up for debate. But he was killed and allegedly was trying to surrender. And so then the French forces and their native allies marched on Washington, and he selected a site to build a fort, and it was very poorly situated. It was in the lowlands, so it was going to flood once it rained, which it did. It was too close to the tree line, so sharpshooters could stand behind the trees and pick off soldiers. And ultimately, he had to surrender, and in doing so, he signed terms of surrender in which he acknowledged assassinating this French official. And he didn't read French, so he was relying on another translation. And that is really seen as the spark of the Seven Years' War, or the French and Indian War, which was obviously a massive global conflict. And so he had a very important role in that. But for himself personally, he realized that many of his other soldiers and other officers had urged him to move. And he didn't listen to that advice. And he thought, you know, he was too proud, basically, to acknowledge that he needed to retreat. And that was a lesson he learned. And going forward, the reason it was one of the only times he surrendered is even though he lost a lot of other battles, he always was quick to retreat if strategy demanded it and not too proud to take a step backwards to fight to survive another day.
Mm. let's fast forward a little bit. Once the revolution starts, and he came to the realization that he was not going to progress in the British Army to the standing that he would have liked. He decides to join the revolution, and there were a lot of questions about his leadership leading the military. Weren't there?
Yeah, you know, he did make some mistakes, especially in 1776. In the summer of 76, the army suffered a series of defeats and retreats across Long Island, New York, Manhattan, and ultimately up through New Jersey and down into Pennsylvania. And, you know, he made some cardinal sins. He, you know, split up his troops. He didn't appropriately survey the land to figure out if there was any back entrances to his position. You know, the kind of things that are sort of standard military fare. And he also had some enormous luck that covered various retreats at moments of real peril. And so there were people who were quite critical of his leadership. What I think is so important is leading into 1777, he engineered the famous crossing of the Delaware and then the battles at Trenton and Princeton. And that was a hugely important symbolic victory and a great boost to morale. But then after that, the army was so loyal to him that even if Congress, you know, wanted to consider replacing him, they understood that they couldn't because the army would disintegrate. And so they just basically started calling it Washington's army instead of the Continental Army. And after that, his leadership was really unchallenged.
We have just a 30 seconds or so left here. His decision to step away from the presidency, in his that farewell address, how did that change the course of history?
Well, it ensured we wouldn't have an elected king, because if he stayed in office for the remainder of his life, then so would his successors. And it established the peaceful transfer of power, which was really unseen at that point and is a bedrock of what it means to be a republic.
Lindsay M. Travinsky with the Washington Presidential Library in Mount Vernon. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. You're on my bucket list. I'm gonna come in one day, so I can't wait to see the place. And thank you for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff, certainly. Coming up on the other side, we'll get you caught up on the headlines. We're also going to talk to the supervisor curator at the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum. Also, Brother Gary Wegner joins us with the Capuchins. Big events coming up to support them.